Enlightening God, the unfolding of your word gives light and provides wisdom to all who seek your truth. Open our minds and hearts by the presence of your Holy Spirit, that the mystery of your heavenly realm is made evident here on earth. Amen. Our scripture reading today is found in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In the movie, the George Clooney movie, Up in the Air, George plays a corporate consultant whose expertise is firing people. And he does so with he also does these not so motivational talks at conferences where he talks about backpacks. And in this speech, he asks the audience to imagine that we have the stuff of our whole lives in a backpack and we carry it around with us. In other words, George's character is asking about one's priorities. What should one carry with you? What should you let go of? This is essentially Jesus' point here in this passage when he tells the man, "Let the dead bury their own dead." Anything that is destructive, anything that is hurtful, anything that is frivolous, cynical, leave that behind. Do not put that in your backpack. Let it be. It's no use to the kingdom of God. This Sunday, we're celebrating the anniversary of this church's existence, 204 years. And over the last few months, as I have been poring over these old minutes, going over them like a fine-tooth comb from the 1830s on, I have been thinking about that same question. What in this document, what in the history of this church do we want to keep, and what do we want to leave behind? I know I want us to keep the tenacity that these early Presbyterians who kept the light of this church going when it didn't make sense to do so, I know we need to keep that. And they kept that light going after church splits, after nasty conflicts, during the Civil War, after disease and infection ran rampant in courthouse. These faithful, imperfect people still gather to worship, to pray, to serve. And they did it through all of it because it was what God called them to do. That needs to go into the backpack. I want us to leave behind the harshness of how they practice their faith. These minutes display an intensity in discipline and a propensity for judging strongly those they deem sinners, as Mary read about poor Rhoda Milliken and her dance hall experience, and we'll see here in a minute with our Reader's Theater. I'm not saying we should never seek to correct one another, but we need to do it from a place centered more fully on love and grace. The session spent an amazing amount of time policing morals at that time. At their meetings, they rarely ever discussed church business. They were more busy trying to keep up with all you guys. What's going on in your life? Did someone see you somewhere you shouldn't be? I need to hear about it. Here's a citation. Balancing law and grace is essential to who we are as Presbyterians. Another thing that impressed me about these early generations of Presbyterians was their flexibility. They did what they needed to do to keep this church going. After William Dickey was hired by Bloomingburg full-time in 1824 or so, this church went 10 years without a pastor. And they continued this church. They continued getting together. They did what they needed to do to keep the church going, like meeting in people's homes, putting up with these different supply preachers, making do with very limited resources. They put on concerts as fundraisers, having prayer meetings in cabins that sold whiskey out the back. This happened. They had a place that they would meet, and in the back, there was a guy selling shots of whiskey that he made. Some of you probably wouldn't mind bringing that back. Citation. They proved that the church could happen anywhere, and the church could happen at any time. And that was an amazing thing for them. They needed the faith. They needed this community because it reminded them of God's order amidst this chaotic environment that they were living in, and truly it was chaotic. God's kingdom found a way, and something we need to be reminded of every once in a while. Understanding and remembering our history is important for two reasons. It helps us remember that we have been where we have been so that we can move forward in the same enterprising spirit of our forefathers and foremothers did, learning from their mistakes. But most importantly, it helps us to point to those moments where God was clearly at work in the life of this church, where resurrection was proved true and sure, the hope, the promised hope, was fulfilled. When you look at these first 70 years, when you open this book and you learn about it, it gives us a better perspective and a way to reframe our current challenges, a reason to keep moving forward even when it seems hopeless. Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the gospel. I talked a couple weeks ago about God opening a photo album and being able to point, here is where I taught you to walk. Here is where I fed you. Here is where I took care of you. Today, this is what we are doing. We are being reminded of all the ways that God has been faithful in the life of this church, and can celebrate that time and can point to that time and say, there it was. God was working, and God continues the work here in this place. And to God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.